Opinions expressed in this episode are personal. They do not necessarily reflect the views of this streaming platform.
Good day, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Let's Be Diverse. I am your host, Andrew Stout. This episode is dedicated to all my loved ones who are no longer with us. Today, we're going to be discussing HR analytics and people analytics that work together. So I thought this was such an interesting topic, something that interests me and something that I wanted to delve into a little bit further. So I thought I would have a guest on today that can help me navigate through this amazing topic. And I'm so lucky to have her on today. My guest is Kelsey Kaminke. Kelsey worked in HR, people relations, and recruitment for the last several years. She specializes in growing and scaling SaaS-based organizations using people analytics and HR data analytics. She applies those analytics to make data-driven decisions that help scale startup tech companies. She truly enjoys what she does and, of course, always up to new challenges. Kelsey currently works for Boundless Immigration, which is an immigration-based SaaS company law firm that helps immigrants navigate the complex U.S. immigration system. Boundless strives to simplify the immigration process for all. Outside of her work, she is a single mom to two of the world's sweetest little boys, and of course, her black lab boomer. He's the baby too. Kelsey is all about making every sporting event, taking her kiddos on trips to explore new things. She always puts her children and family above work. Kelsey only believes in working for companies that understand that this is the most important value in life, no matter what. Work comes second to her family, and she makes that a priority at every company that she works for. She is one of the most dynamic individuals that I have met in a long time. She is actually a superhero in my mind, and I'm so happy to have her on today. Welcome to the show, Kelsey. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You are very welcome. I would not have anybody else come on and talk about this topic. Like I said, you are a superhero to me, and it's an honor to have you on. What I want to know is, how are things with you? What's new with you? What's new in your world?
Yeah, things with me are going really well. We're doing a lot better. I don't know if anyone listening to this podcast has followed along with the Team Kelsey story, but that's me. And I'll just dive into a little bit of what's going on. But I've been working full time. I still work full time. I work fully remote, thank goodness. And earlier last year, in February of 2023, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. I'm a single mom to two little boys. So, of course, this was like completely shocking news. And it was just wild. It was a wild time. But right now, I'm on the mend, cancer-free. At this very moment, still working and still enjoying everything that I do at work. But yeah, things are going really well so far.
I love that story. We're going to hear a little bit more about you in a few minutes here. But I just love that you're striving forward. You are a strong human and you're going to get through it all for sure. But thank you for sharing all of that with us. Before we begin, I always have a fun question to ask my guests to get things going. Are you ready for yours?
I don't know. Am I ready? I think I'm ready.
you're going to do great. Your question is, do hummingbirds hum because they can't remember the words?
That's a good question. Maybe. Sure. I'm going to say yes.
you're going to say yes?
Yeah.
Would you say you're a hummingbird? Because I know I am. I make up my own words sometimes.
I definitely do the same. I would say I'm for sure a hummingbird. Yes, absolutely.
Thanks so much for having fun with me. I appreciate you having fun and giving me that answer. It was a pretty simple answer and I love it. So I know that you went into a little bit of your story, but I want to go a little bit further and in depth here. So why don't you tell our audience a little bit about you, your story, and we know part of your why is your kids, but tell us about your why as well.
Yeah. So I guess I'll get started with just how I got into HR and people operations and all of that good stuff. So historically, I started as a recruiter, actually, like through a staffing agency. That's where I initially started my career. And I was actually one of the top recruiters for Apple One for a long time. I was the top salesperson in the nation. Mm-hmm. And eventually I took my recruiting in-house. I went to be an internal recruiter. And then I decided, hey, I have all of these really transferable skills to work into like more the HR and operations side. And eventually I worked into that side of things. But I took a little break. So in between when I started working as a recruiter, just very fresh out of college, I took a little break. I had gotten married and I had my first little boy. And during that time, I decided to stay home from work for a little while with my little one. So I took a little break in between recruiting and took about a year or so off of work to stay home with my little guy. And unfortunately, I later the following year got divorced and became a single parent, which was just, you know, never how you picture the future of your life. You really picture raising kids as a family and with your partner, but unfortunately, it wasn't in the cards for me. And so I got divorced the following year, and it was really tough for me to get back into the workforce. And I was willing to work as hard as I could. I was willing to do anything really to prove that I still had these skills that were very transferable,
right,
even though I stayed home for a year and took a little bit of time off. And I'm so glad that I did, to be honest. I'm so glad that I did that. But I will say getting back into the workforce and trying to get back into HR and the operational side of things was very tough. So after my divorce, I took whatever jobs I could get. And how I did that was I went through a staffing agency because I had worked in one and I knew how that game worked. And I knew mm-hmm. that I could potentially get in with some good clients or good tech companies or whatever the case may have been. And so that's what I did. I worked with a recruiter. She would call me and say, hey, I have this job this week. It's a contract, but if you do a great job, maybe they'll hire you. So I took any contract I could take and I did some recruiting contracts. And then a tech client had reached out and said, hey, we really want to interview Kelsey and this is for a people operations role. And so I took a contract there and I ended up being offered the job to be hired on just a few months later. Initially, they weren't planning to hire anybody, but they decided that they loved the work that I had done and they hired me in people ops. And I also worked pretty closely with the talent acquisition side of things as well at that time. And it was a global tech company. So I got a lot of really good experience there and learned a lot about scaling a company globally, which is quite different than scaling a company just here in the US. Picked up a lot of skills there. And then from there, I took that and ran and rebuilt my whole career. And now I'm a people operations manager for a SaaS-based immigration company. And we're also a global company. We have people spread throughout the world. And we are still scaling and growing in other areas too. So it's always exciting. There's always all kinds of new challenges and things like that. And yeah, I just slowly rebuilt my career and I'm doing great right now. I had another little boy later on. So I have a 3-year-old and I have a 6-year-old right now, so they're still little and cute. I would say that they are, without a doubt, my why. I gasp because I want to do the best I can for my family, and that's exactly what I do, and it's what I've done, and I'll always do. So that's definitely part of my why, and I think a lot of why I wanted to get into people operations and people analytics, HR analytics, is I've worked for terrible companies during that time where I was trying to rebuild my career. I worked for some really bad companies. And then when you find a good one, you're like, yep, I'm going to hang on to this one. And you can really just see the difference in companies. And you can see the difference in the companies that use people in HR analytics versus mm-hmm. the companies that just make decisions without data or that maybe don't mm-hmm. have accurate data. And they're making right. these massive decisions that really impact the success of the company and the culture and everything just all around. And so right. that really drove me deeply to get into people operations and people analytics. And I really enjoy pulling that data and using it to make decisions. And I've been very successful in doing that and very successful in scaling startup companies from zero to 5,000 employees. So yeah, I think it's really interesting. And I've picked up so many skills that I'm so thankful I've learned. And I continue to do that. So that's my why. And like you said, my biggest thing is that I'm a people first HR leader. I'm very people driven. And I think if your people are intrinsically motivated, that will without a doubt reflect in the bottom line of the success of the business. And that's why I do what I do, because I will never lead an HR department of a company that I don't believe in. My why is that I want to create a good people first, family first work culture for companies. And I want people to believe in what we're doing, and I want to believe in it. I don't want to work for a terrible company that is soul sucking and draining. And that's certainly not what I do as an HR leader. In fact, I focus on doing quite the opposite. And I do that by taking this data and making sure it's accurate and pulling that and then applying it to the business. And in turn, it makes everybody so much happier. And so that's why I do what I do. And I love it.
Wow, there's so much that I want to pack into here that you had said First of all, I love you're a people first person. I am a people first person as well. I think that's super important, especially in the HR industry. I think that people recognize that right away, and it's super important. The other thing that I want to pack into is just your story and how you adapted. So you saw your situation and this is what I'm handed. And you adapted to it and you figured it out and you were strong. I'm sure there was some times where it wasn't easy, but you stuck with it and you were strong. And I feel like you're a better person for it now. And I definitely feel like you learned a lot, and especially in the people analytics or people operations role, you said you worked for bad companies. I'm sure that what you learned from those companies is definitely helping you in your role now, because you saw what was happening in other places, what wasn't working, and you probably took a mental note in your head and saying, wherever I work, if I'm in charge, this can't happen.
That's exactly right. And that's exactly what I've done. And I think it's why I built such a successful career in people operations, because I have worked down in the ditches with some terrible organizations that didn't care for people first and didn't care to look at data and analytics. And that really did reflect in their business. And it wasn't a place that anyone really wanted to be. Mm-hmm. And so my whole goal in my career has really been being the opposite of that and making sure that we can mitigate those issues. I have a plan of this is what I've seen and this is how we can change it. This is what we're going to do. And just building a foundation around the data that we have and making good decisions with that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say it's definitely made me a better person and a better HR person for sure. Mm-hmm. And I'm very people first. So I have no interest in ever entertaining any company that does not put that as first value, first priority. Mm. That's definitely my motto, at least.
For sure. And the other thing I wanted to mention too is that you stayed at home. We were talking a little bit before we started taping today, and we were having a conversation about some people that I have spoken to who were stay-at-home moms, and they were going to apply for jobs at companies, and they decide to stay home for 2-3 years to be with their children. And companies are looking at the resume. They're saying, I see that there's a gap in your resume, 2-3 years. And the person explains, I decided to stay home with my kids. And there's some companies that are not understanding that. And I said to you before we started taping today that if I was a head of an organization and I had a woman come in and she had 2, 3, 4 kids at home, I would definitely consider hiring them just because of the fact that they are strong individuals. I would definitely want that strong individual part of my organization for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. I'm all for that. 100% behind you on that one. And going back to that conversation, I also think no one works harder than a parent with kids at home. Whether you're a single parent or you're the providing parent or whatever the case may be, no one is going to grind harder than that person. And truthfully, that is what I have found in my career. When I hire people, generally the parents are the ones working the hardest and having the most success within the company. And I think that's just because they have such a heavy burden of providing for their children. They have mouths to feed. And so I think that's a really big deal. And I commend working parents or parents with kids at home. It's not easy. That's for sure. I'll tell you that. And I will say when I was trying to get back into my career after I had taken a little bit of time off, it was rough. I had the same kind of thing where people would be like, yeah, you've been at home for a year. Sorry. Really, there were so many skills that are transferable into a role within HR, especially being a stay-at-home parent that people just completely disregard. And I think they say that stay-at-home parents, I think it's like their annual salary if they were to work would be like $200,000 or something like that. It's hard work and you don't get time off. It never ends. But I do love, I will say another thing that drives me and drove me from that point. I love when people tell me I can't do it. If you say I can't do something, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go do it and show you that you're wrong. And that was my main driver in my life at that time that got me to a successful career was that. It was just, I don't give up. Even going through cancer and working full time is the same thing. I have to persevere. And that's just one thing that I'm built to do that not everyone is. But I think perseverance is like, holy cow, one of the most important things in being successful in life, but also in your career. And that's one thing that was really a driving factor for me is anybody who rejected me or told me I couldn't do it or I wasn't smart enough to do it, guess what? I did it.
No kidding. No kidding. Yeah. I totally am with you on that 175% on that. I think it's a driver and I'm like that too. I've been told by people that I can't do something. As I've gotten older, I want to prove those people wrong. And if you're a backer with me, that's great. If you're not, that's okay. But I'm going to prove it to you that I can do it for sure. So what I want to know is, what are the benefits of people analytics within an organization?
The benefits of people analytics, there's so many benefits. But I would say to just run through a few of the things, culture, it provides a way better company culture, way higher engagement in the culture, improved talent acquisition and new hiring funnels and better data correlated to that. I think it also provides leadership and management training and it provides better leadership and better management throughout the organization. Mm. When we look at these things, it can also provide performance management. Mm. What does performance look like? How can we increase that? What can we do to incentivize our people? What things are working versus what things are not working. Mm-hmm. And then we can make decisions based on that to drive the incentive of the business. So we want people to do this, what's working, what's not, and then how are we going to strategize that? Those are just a few of the things. And then also I think like learning and development is a big part of that too. Learning and development is so important to that, I would say. And I think it's, I don't know the exact number, but I think it's like companies that have good L&D programs, I think they have 33 to 40% less turnover, maybe more than that. So I think all of those things paired together are really important. Every decision that you make.
Yeah. And I could see how earlier in your story, you talked about some bad companies that you worked for. I'm wondering if they were a little bit old school, and I could see how, if you're trying to put people analytics into an organization, how some these companies may not want to do it because they are the, oh, we've done things this way for so long and we've been successful. We're not going to change at this point. Definitely see that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I will say the companies that I can think of that were the bad companies that I had worked for previously, that's exactly what the culture was like. We've always done it this way, so we're just going to keep doing it this way. So the business would never grow, never scale, and it would just stay as is. And it wasn't very successful because they were not willing to look at the data. But more than anything, it's like they were not willing to invest the time or money into what needed to be assessed in order to do that. So I think that was really important. And the other thing is, the companies that don't invest in platforms for data tracking and analytics, those are the ones that wind up in the ditches because that's the framework to grow the business. You have to have accurate data. And sometimes it can be difficult because it's like one of the challenges can be, especially in those types of organizations, is we might be pulling data from multiple sources all over the place. And that's what I always find is like one of the biggest challenges working in people operations and data analytics, people analytics. Sometimes we're pulling data from so many sources. It's like, what's accurate versus what's not, what's updated, what's not. And then how are we going to streamline all of this data so that we can make better informed decisions for the company? Mm-hmm. And that takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of scrubbing and it takes a lot of corrections. And so that is one of the challenging things about it, but it's so necessary because it is the foundation to overall growing your business.
So for those who are listening here, can you take a few minutes and explain to our listeners where you get, you talk a lot about pulling this data. Can you explain where you get this data from?
Yeah, it depends on your org and where the data is housed. But a lot of the data that I'm talking about, we'll pull from our HRIS systems. Like we use Paylocity as just one example. You might use Bamboo HR or Namely, or there's so many out there, ADP. But I'm talking mostly about the data that's housed there because that's where we track a lot of the people analytics. We also track a lot of our TA stuff there. We also track some of it in a separate applicant tracking system like Greenhouse or one of those. That's where it gets a little tricky is some of our hiring data might be housed separately in an ATS system. Like maybe we don't have it linked to our HRIS system. So it can be hard to determine what is accurate data? What's our accurate time to hire? What is our turnover? What are these things? What's the source of truth? So I think it's always important to try to house your data in one spot if you can, as much as you can. I think it just provides a more accurate, detailed description of things, but that's just one example. We pull data also from surveys. That's one thing that we'll pull data off of is we'll do pulse surveys, we'll do annual surveys, things like that. We'll pull data from those. We also might pull data from various sources from management or things like that for productivity and retention, engagement. So there are a lot of places that we pull data from and it's tough to like look at it all as one. So if you can house as many things as possible in one system, like an HRIS, I think that's like the way to go.
So what is the difference between HR analytics and people analytics?
Yeah, I would say a lot of these things, in my mind, they work hand in hand and they almost intertwine in some ways in some decision making. But I would say people analytics, it's more for making company-based decisions, like for the company as a whole overall, like strategy-based decisions, I guess is how I would word that. So if we want to make a strategic-based decision, I think we would mostly be using people analytics for those types of things and for like incentive programs and things of that nature. I think that's where the people analytics come in versus where HR analytics are a little bit in a separate category, and HR analytics is primarily used, I think, to improve like HR processes and policies and procedures and things of that nature. Like, where can we improve this policy or procedure to get the outcomes and success that we want? And that also goes hand in hand again with people analytics where, okay, we're going to change these policies and procedures to influence maybe this kind of engagement or behavior or whatever, and then we'll create a strategy based on that. So they're a little bit different, but I do think that they intertwine quite a bit in some ways.
I definitely agree with you. I think they definitely do go hand in hand. I think if you're doing a company-based decision, like you said, it's going to be HR-based and people-based. So I definitely think it goes hand in hand. The decision affects both. It affects the employees and it affects how things are going to be done. You mentioned processes, how the processes are going to be done with the HR department. So I definitely think that they go hand in hand. I think they marry together for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I think they do in a lot of ways. But yeah, there is still some variation there. But yeah, I think they work together. I think HR is definitely more process-based, the HR analytics. And then I would say people analytics are more strategy-based, at least from what my experience is.
Do you find that companies struggle? So let's say there's a decision that wants to be made and they do the analytics for it. Is there a situation where the HR department does not agree with, let's say, management, like after the analytics are done? Is there a time where they don't agree?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think there are times where they don't agree, and that can be for various reasons. It could be for data reasons. Maybe what we're seeing is not the most accurate. So maybe that decision is not the right decision based on what the managers are seeing. Maybe the managers are saying, look, I know that the data says XYZ, my team thrives on this, and this is how I know. And then they'll provide maybe some of their insight on something. Okay. So I have seen where I think there are times that depending on how accurate your data is, I think that's probably the most important. If you have inaccurate data, that will happen. I will say that. Okay. If your data is accurate and you're also surveying regularly and you're doing performance management and training your leadership, then typically we don't run into that. But in cases where we're really like in those early elementary school startup stages, yes, you will definitely run into things like that. And it just takes time to build, I think, where at some organizations, like we may not have any L&D yet. That may not be a thing that we have. And our management might not be fully up to speed on what they need to be up to speed on yet. Or we might not have any performance management yet. That might not be a thing that's built. And in those stages, I would say, yes, I've run into that. But once you learn to get past that and build out those programs and those things fade away. So that's why it's really important to just from the get-go, initially, to really get the foundation in place so that you don't run into things like that.
Because I could totally see a situation where your department looks at the, let's get some data, let's figure this out. You get the data back, and I could see a manager or a leader in a department saying to you or saying to the people operations department, listen, I know you say that you got this data, but I don't agree with it. I see what's happening in my department and that data doesn't jive with me. I don't agree with it whatsoever. We all know that numbers and data doesn't lie, but some people can struggle with the fact that this is what the data is saying and this is what it should be. So I could definitely see that for sure.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you've seen that yourself.
Yeah, I've definitely seen that for sure. Also, you have to look at the data that you're providing too. And is this accurate data? Because it really could be inaccurate data. And then at that point, it's okay, let's sit down with management and really take a look deeper and see where we're at, what we need to fix, where the data is incorrect, and then try again. But yeah, it happens for sure.
So I love the people operations aspect and the data. I just love all that. I think it's super important in an organization. But I don't know if there's a lot of companies that have these roles. Is people analytics a growing field?
I would say without a doubt, people analytics is a growing field. And I think actually the people operations job titles and people analytics, people ops managers, that's one of the fastest growing job titles in the United States, actually. And year over year, it continues to grow. And so I think it will, and it has, and I think it's going to continue on that path, because without these insights and analytics, a business cannot make a good informed bottom line decision. And you have to have people, data, and analytics in order to do that, in order to scale and be successful and grow. And some of these things, sure, you can automate parts of it, but I think this is a growing industry. I think it's going to continue to grow without a doubt. And historically, if you're looking at it, it's just grown and grown. And so it seems to be going in that direction, in that trend. And I think it's like almost a $3 billion industry right now, people analytics and people ops type jobs. And so I think that just goes to show that it's super important and it's something that you have to invest in. Yeah, I think it's a growing industry without a doubt.
I agree with you 100% too. Like you said, you can't make a decision on a whim. You have to have something to go by in order to make a decision, or I should say an informed decision. You can't just decide we're going to do this, you have to have something to look at to say, a lot of it is basically things have been going this way. It was working, but now it's no longer working. So now we have to look at things. Maybe we got to adjust some stuff, but we need to make decisions on it. So let's get some data and let's figure it out. But yeah. You can't just say, we're going to change something on a whim and not have anything to go by or stand by for sure.
Yeah, totally. You definitely can't do that. You don't want to be doing that.
And that goes with anything in business and in life, whatever. We always need to have some sort of information in order to make an informed decision for sure.
Yeah.
So how do you think your hometown shaped you into the person that you are today?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. It's like there's so many things, but my hometown, it's somewhat small-ish. And I think my hometown and growing up, I didn't really have the opportunities to explore many careers. And so I was a very analytical person. And I think growing up, once I realized like, hey, this is actually a really interesting thing and I'm good at it. Once I started working in recruiting and things like that, I got out of my small little town and got into the workforce. And I think it shaped just me as a human being, obviously. I think it made me really successful as far as the fact that I'm able to be really personable with people. I'm a pretty down-to-earth person. I think that's why I'm so people first, is just the way I was raised and where I grew up and the people that I was raised with. And so I was always very active and I played a lot of sports and I was very social and I had so many groups of friends. And I was the person that never just had one group of friends. I hung out with several different types of groups of friends. And I think that has also built a really successful career for me because I'm able to work with such diverse groups of people. And I would say, generally speaking, I get along with all people. I am very personable. I really like to learn about people. I like to learn why they're the way that they are. And I think a lot of that has to do with my hometown and just how I was raised and all of the things that I was involved in, all the sports that I played. It made me a very social and outgoing person and in turn made me really successful in my career because I had learned just how to adapt and change and I've just been very social. And so I think that was a big part of getting into recruitment and getting into HR. And I always say, like growing up, it was always something that I tried to do was like hang out with people that were smarter than me and had better ideas than me and were doing better than me in a lot of things. And I still do that. And I think everybody should do that because it really expands your horizon, not only as a human, but it can expand your career too. You learn so much from so many other people. Although I loved my little, you know, hometown, I am glad that eventually, you know, I was able to move on from that. And the reason I was is just because of how I was raised with everyone there. Taught me so many things and I met so many different people. And so that really shaped me into who I am. And I was able to grow and to move to a bigger city and learn so many things in my career. And also as a human being, just as a person outside of my career, I've learned so much and I'm so thankful that I did grow up where I grew up. In a lot of ways, it shaped me, I think. Yeah.
I was talking to somebody just this past week who's from a hometown, and they were saying to me that typically people that live in a small town, as you grow older, not everybody, but some people, it pushes them because they're like, I want to do everything that I can because I want to move on. I need a change. And if I stay here, I may not get the goals that I'm looking to achieve. So I need to go on and move somewhere where there's going to be more opportunities for me. So it makes them stronger and pushes them a little bit harder to get to their goals.
Yeah, exactly. And that's like exactly how I felt. It was definitely a good foundation that I had built there. But eventually I was like, okay, I want to take what I have and really just capitalize on the opportunities that I have coming my way because I don't want to stay here forever. Like I want to learn new things and I want to get out of here. And that's what I did. And so I am very thankful that I had a good foundation and a good hometown.
This has been such a great conversation today. I've totally enjoyed spending time with you and having this conversation. Any final thoughts today?
No, I thank you so much for having me on your show. I'm just so grateful that you asked me to come on. And I hope this is helpful for anyone in the HR or people operations field. And anyone with questions, feel free to reach out. I'm here. I love to network. I love to bounce ideas off of other people. That's how I learn. I'm always open to new ideas. And I think that's part of being successful in your career, but also as a human. It's good to be open to new things. And so I'm really grateful for that. And I really enjoyed talking with you too. Thank you so much. It's been awesome.
I've learned a long time ago that the soonest that we say that we know everything is when we find ourselves in trouble. I call myself a lifelong learner. I'm always willing to listen to people, always willing to learn. And I've never learned everything because... If I say that, like I said, I'm going to be in deep trouble. So
yeah,
I'm totally with you on that. I'm always looking to have great conversations and learn. I want to take the time to thank you as well. You are a fantastic human being. You're caring and thoughtful. I can remember our first conversation over the phone, and it was like we just clicked. We had such a great conversation, and it was like we got along instantly. And that's that comfort nature, and I felt comfortable talking to you and telling you about what I was looking to do, and you were kind and considerate to listen to my thoughts and my ideas, and you were so open to the opportunity. You were very quick to say, yes, it's been a while since we talked, and it's been a while to come to this day, but it was nice to have somebody instantly say, absolutely, I will definitely be part of that. I'd love to come on as a guest. And that was within minutes of a conversation of somebody that you just met. And that meant a lot to me. So thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. I'm so glad that you reached out. And I'm very fortunate. I feel very fortunate to be here today and on your podcast. And it's been a really nice, interesting conversation for sure. And thank you for your kindness too. You're very sweet, very kind. And I, of course, always appreciate that. And especially in the workforce, I truly enjoy people like yourself. And that's why I do what I do. You know, I want everybody to feel that way. I want everybody to feel accepted and able to be themselves and whole. And so anyways, thank you very much. And I appreciate you. I love it. Thank you.
You're very welcome. So on behalf of myself and my guest, Kelsey, I'd like to thank you all for listening today. And until next time, everybody, be safe. And remember that if we all work together, we can accomplish everything.